Hello, everybody. Welcome to the what we call the Dice and Die Show. Something like that. D&D Show. Hey, guys. Thank you very much for listening, tuning in on stream or download the podcast, wherever you are at. We appreciate you. My name's Luke. I'm your host, your DM, your GM, your best buddy, Lukey Baby. With me tonight, I am joined by Millicent, the half-elven bard, played by Lisa Horton.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa. How are you doing?
Fresh back from Bognor.
Oh, lovely. We'll talk about that later. Who we got? Pock.
The gnomish.
We might do, but we're not. Pock, says you're piping in there. Sean Lee, how you
Hello.
Doing?
Yes, I'm good. You all right?
Yeah, I'm tired. Very, very, very tired. Oh, yeah, I had a really late night last night. Just knackered. But yeah, I'm good.
Oh, no.
Who else we got? Burr, Bolt Thrower, Gavin Bourne.
Evening.
Evening, sir. And last but I don't know, just last, really. Scapes.
Never leave.
Scapes the Paladin, James Blythe.
Evening all. Hello, everyone.
And touch wood, we don't want to jinx anything, but there doesn't seem to be any lag issues this week, James.
I know, I'm so scared, to be honest with you. Everything seems to be going right, and that's always a bad thing.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
You need to introduce him first, and then by the time you get through everyone, he'll say hello. Yeah.
The thing is, I always want to try and do it in a different order, because I don't want anyone to think I've got a favourite, but at the same time, I can never remember which order I've done it in, so I'm just like...
I don't think I've ever been last, because that seems... new to me.
Oh, there we go.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Psyconsent says his options for this evening were catching up on Democratic Party Conference, Final Fantasy X, or this and this one. So we thank you.
Thank you.
Lovely. Yeah. So I haven't, every week normally I go on all of the social media things. I'm like, oh, we're streaming. I haven't done it today. Hopefully everyone remembers that we're here. But we've got Flak 30, we've got Psyconsent, and apparently we have 7 people currently in the stream chat. One of them's me, at least. But thank you for joining us. It's been another week gone. And here we are still. I mean, we're recording what episode? I don't even know what episode we're recording
188.
Now. I think it's...
We're still in Cragmore Castle.
Yeah, still in Cragmore Castle. So for those of you that are just tuning for the very first time, we are an actual play tabletop role-playing podcast that stream records live every Tuesday to Twitch. Join us Tuesday 8:30-ish GMT time, though currently that's +1 due to our stupid fucking backwards British summer times. We are currently playing D&D, though in the past we've played some Call of Cthulhu, which still hasn't been released on podcast, but it may do one day, and who knows what the future holds as well. We're playing through the starter set, Lost Mine of Phandelver Adventure, and we're over halfway through. We're probably pushing about 3/4 of the way through now, guys, but I have gone and added in some homebrew stuff to kind of drag it out, because I'm just absolutely petrified of what we're going to do when this is finished, and I can't be asked to prep a whole new adventure. So we're getting along. It's been a good week for the stats. Again, when this gets released, I think we're about 5 or 6 weeks ahead of the podcast. But this week, as we're recording on the 18th of August, we broke 2,000 downloads yesterday, which is amazing. Yay. We're on about 2,020 today, so that's absolutely cool. Fucking fantastic. Yep. We've hit over...
Who are you people? Can you please think about that?
Yeah.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And the reception seems to be really positive. Over 700 followers on Twitter. The Facebook group is picking up. For those of you that don't follow us on Facebook, please do. You just search for the D&D show, or actually search for the Dice N Die Show, which I think you can just...
I tried to look for it the other day. It took me fucking ages.
That's because we haven't got many people on there, yeah. But I think if you just type in Facebook/... show D&D, I think it should in theory take you straight to our page. So give us a a follow, and drop us a review on there. And if you're listening to this and you haven't yet reviewed us, then please do. Whatever your platform is, whether that's iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, or if you're not got access to them on Facebook, please do, because they do help. And like I said, reception's been great. I might do some read out some reviews if I can be bothered in a bit. Certainly there's somebody, people that I want to say thank you to. We had a really nice tweet today. I did put it in the group earlier on. Did you guys all read it?
I did. It was very nice.
Absolutely amazing.
It was warm, like honey.
So if you haven't listened to our early episodes, the sound quality is not great back on those early episodes. We had crap equipment, still learning how to do this and stuff like that. And Sean did a good job kind of smarting it up. But we did put a disclaimer on the sort of the first sort of four or five episodes saying, sorry about the sound, bear with us. So somebody called, I'm not going to just say his full name, but he's at JNukeTheFirst. He said, at Show D&D, y'all keep doing what you're doing. Don't apologize for sound quality. You guys truly are entertaining and a show that I look forward to hearing daily, at least until I catch up with the releases, lol. Keep moving forward. Oh. And I thought, you know what? Shit like that makes my fucking day, because this is fun and we play for fun, but sometimes running a podcast can be, it's really quite stressful. So stuff like that is really nice. So thank you very much. But yeah, we're getting there. We're getting there. We'll be.
Yeah.
It's great. Give us more love. We like to hear it. We like to read it. How's everyone's week been? Mine's been shit, but we can talk about that another time.
Yeah. No, it's shit.
Yeah, you were telling us before stream your fucking roofs, your garage, you've been fucked up. We don't need to get that. Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah, my week's been good and bad and long and short and fast and slow.
All at once.
Yeah, it's been a weird one.
Sounds like a song, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to crack in today with the welcome and start singing Here Comes the Rain by The Cult. It was me and James were having a conversation today about different songs that are all about rain. And I've had it in my head all day long. It's a fucking fat tune.
I've got Phil Collins still in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, it's never good.
I stuck it on. I didn't recognise the song, and I got about 30 seconds in, and I was like, nah.
Oh, yeah, this one.
I was like, no, this is not my cup of tea. And then I put on Alice in Chains. I was like, yeah, this is more like it.
Cleanser.
Yeah.
I can only think of Travis, which is upsetting.
Why does it always rain on me? That's a tune, though.
Travis was great. Low key, great.
Yeah, it's all right. I like the song.
There's that song about that girl called Lorraine as well, isn't there? I can see clearly now Lorraine has gone.
Yep.
That's one of my favourite ones.
Wah, wah, wah. I mean, like,
there's not much room in there.
Psych Uncensored says raining men. Yeah, they're good. Yeah. I don't think that's quite in the same vein. There's Annie Lennox, or was it still with the Eurythmics, a really good song as well.
The Desert's Miss the Rain.
Maybe.
Like the Desert's Miss the Rain.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Is that Des Ray? No.
No, it's everything but the Gav, isn't it?
Yes, Gav.
There you go.
Gav remembers the 90s.
Vividly.
That's going to bug me now what the fucking Eurythmics one was.
So, like Lovers Do, isn't it? Is it called Like Lovers Do?
Like Lovers Do. Talk to me. Oh, she's got an amazing voice, man.
Yeah, she's cracking.
Troy Tempest has joined us. Sea of Fools. So Sea of Fools says, hey, this is Paul from Roll Britannia. Skipped ahead, but spoilers. Hello, Paul. Nice to see you.
Yes.
Roll Britannia, another British D&D podcast. Very funny. Check them out. They're really good. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. I'm just so knackered, guys. I'm not with it. I've actually prepped for this session as well, which is strange and unlike me. And the past few days and week has been really, really fucking stressful, which is something I wanted. I'm not going to go into personal details because that's way too much to drop on everyone, but mental health is not a fucking joke. So look after yourselves. Talk to people. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling shit, talk to people, you know, because it's not a joke. And I've been in a real fucking dark place this week. Thanks, Gav, for your messages the other night, man. That was really appreciated. Yeah, so there's always people out there, you know. So it feels really lonely when you're like that, and you're not alone. You know, if you're feeling like that, reach out to somebody. Everybody has somebody, no matter when you think that you don't. You know, if you don't get on with your family, you must have a friend, or you've got somebody at work, or you've just got the fucking internet these days. Just put that shit out on Twitter and somebody will reach out to you. Failing that, Google it. Samaritans in England or wherever it is in America, I don't fucking know, or wherever you live. That's what we need to say on it.
Funny you should mention that, because I actually watched Dark Place this week. And you said you've been in a dark place, and just reminded me that you watched the program. And if you are in a dark place, it's actually quite a good program to watch, because it's uplifting.
I'm Ben Vincible. Ben, I'm Ben Vincible. I'm Fairly Certain you are Ben from Roleplay Retcon. fuck me. Thank you for joining us. You're in America. What's the? You must. Why aren't you at work? What are you doing?
I mean, yeah, they're allowed to work in America, aren't they? Nothing's changed.
So. What's the time over there now? Well, 5-6 hours. He says he's at work.
Depends where you are.
Time to link. Time to clean. No, thanks for joining.
Cool. At work.
I talk about Roleplay Retcon all the time. They're one of my all-time favorite podcasts. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. They're amazing. It's 3 p.m. over there, apparently. So it's getting towards the end of the day. Why not? I don't know if that's about. What were you talking about? Yeah, fucking government shit this week. What the fuck?
Government shit.
All this bollocks. Anybody, again, when you listen to this, it's going to be a few weeks' time. It's all rolled, probably gone away by now. But in the UK, nobody's been able to sit in the exams. So GCSEs and A-levels, college, 18-year-olds, weren't able to sit their final exams. So it was agreed that based on their mock exams, is that right? And then the teachers would predict what they were going to get. And it was agreed that that's the grade they were going to get. However, 40% of public school students were downgraded. How fucking ridiculous is that? Yeah, all of the posh twats with their private schools like Eton and all that crap, none of them were fucking downgraded. And it's been, it's infuriated me, absolutely infuriated me this week. I mean, I know you're a teacher, Miss, and my mum's a teacher, you know, and it's just, and not only that, but it's just not fair on the kids, man. It's been overturned. The government have done a U-turn, but I think it was only due to pressure because I'm fairly certain that Boris originally was like, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah, and Williamson. Our illustrious education secretary, who said something along the lines of, oh, we don't want the wrong people getting the wrong jobs, do we?
This is it.
Absolute
wanker. Yeah, we don't want underqualified people.
I'm confident in saying he's an absolute wanker.
Oh, they all fucking are. Just fucking bin the Tories, man. Honestly, what the fuck?
Jones and I were saying before the stream, it's all inherently unfair. And as a teacher, you see it all the way through the education system, the education life. We are trying to play by the rules that we're given, and even those are unfair. So at the point when they, you know, why not just listen to the teachers? And if they had a problem with the teachers, what their teachers put forward, well, that's what Ofsted's for. That's what the relentless observations and the rigorous audits are for that we go through every year. No, let's put it through a inherently biased algorithm and make sure that the poor kids don't get a fucking chance. And it is infuriating. However, they've now U-turned, so I'm not really sure what I'm angry about now.
I think you should still be angry, because the thing is, they wouldn't have U-turned if it wasn't for people like you and us and other, you know, who've got angry, you know.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's right that they've done a U-turn, but at the end of the day, they shouldn't have fucked it up in the first place.
Absolutely.
You can say it's like that's another sign of an absolutely incompetent government.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad, of course, yes, they've done the right thing, but they did, you know, it shouldn't have even come to this, you know.
And I think the thing that worries me the most is, were they incompetent or were they competent in what they wanted to achieve, which is keeping people in
the did they do it right and hopefully didn't get twigged?
Like, definitely was a class issue, and that's exactly what it was. They don't want, like, I saw a headline, and it was a headline with the Independent, you know, there was a girl who was predicted straight A's and was offered a provisional place at something like Oxford or Cambridge, but was then denied her place because they downgraded her.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a classist issue. They don't want
lives anyway. Mm. Like, that's another thing that all gets forgotten under this as well, right? That's actually people's lives, and they expected and they've worked out a thing. It's not fair on them.
Mm-hmm. They're working 4 years towards these grades to get into the Oxford universities to become whatever.
Absolutely. And somebody like this poor girl as well, who has got it against her, but probably, you know, coming from a working class family, has worked her fucking ass off probably her entire life, and she's a kid and shouldn't have to work that hard to get to the point where she can go to Cambridge or whatever the university was, and then to be denied on a technicality.
Yeah, how much harder is it for someone in a position of
Oxbridge, just like says it was Oxbridge,
from an affluent family, who doesn't have to get a Saturday job as soon as they're 16, who doesn't have to you know, maybe care for people at home, all those situations that occur much more often in poorer communities and working class communities, how much harder is it for them to achieve an A star? It's a lot fucking harder. Mm-hmm. And no one seems to be appreciating that either.
No.
And at the end of the day, the government are going to lose out because they're not going to have the brightest, strongest people on their side.
No, they're going to have their rich mates' kids.
Kind of the idea, like
exactly.
What we were saying, isn't it?
Fucking exactly.
Anyway,
let's play some D&D, huh?
Yeah, escapism.
All right. So the story so far, it was a bit of a gone a bit all over the place recently. We are still technically at Cragmore Castle. Now, we did leave Cragmore Castle temporarily. Went to Phandalin. You found out that Sildar was dead and had been for some time. So there's, you know, another doppelganger knocking about, and you rescued Gundren. You get back to Phandalin, and but he's gone. You want to confront him, but he's gone. Gundren needs healing, so you get a side quest, a little mini quest. The cleric in the town, Sister Gariel, says, right, I'll heal him up. It's going to take a few days, though. Do me a favour for payment. Go and find this banshee, Agatha, in the woods. Give her this comb and ask her about what happened to, or what... I can't remember what the exact question was, but it's something to do with the spell book that belongs to a famous wizard called Beaugentle. Ask this question. That's all you have to do. Nice and simple, but just be careful you don't piss her off because she's dangerous. And so you trek up there. You find her. She comes out and she does the whole Galadriel scary thing. You know, she's basically, fine, this is a nice comb that you've given me. Cheers. I'll answer your one question for you, but make it count. One question is all you're getting. Think carefully. Scape says, can we have a minute? And she says, yeah, sure, I'll have your minute. And then goes. So she goes, and you talk for a minute about what question you need to ask her. You even talk about, should we use this opportunity to ask a different question? And then she comes back and says, right, you've had your minute, now go. And you're like, what? What? And she's like, I told you, you got one question, one fucking question, and you fucked it up. She agrees, however. She says, fine, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you about Beaugentle's spellbook if you do something for me. So it's a side quest of a side quest. I need you to go to this elven castle, she tells you, and find this gemstone called Akira. Find this for me, bring it back to me, and then I'll answer your question. It's in an old elven castle in the woods to the west. Go and find it. And you go, oh, all right, we'll go and find this random castle in the fucking woods. And on the way there, you realise, oh, actually, you know what? It's fucking Cragmore Castle. That's an elven castle. We remember all of the stuff you told us, GMs. Thank you. So you get to Cragmore Castle. Now, when you arrive, it's been about 4 or 5 days. You've done a lot of travelling since you left. But it's changed. When you get to the clearing in the woods where the castle was, all of the grass, it's all dead. All the grass is brown. Dead. You walk inside, the bodies are all still there of all of the goblins that you murdered. But as you get closer towards the back, where you remember there being this door that smelt of death and rot that led down to the basement, you notice these weird dark green, almost black vines that have burst out of there because you boarded it all up before in fear. Have burst through and have started to grow and take out of the car out over the back of the castle, spreading, and you can almost see them spreading as you get there. And that's where we ended the session, about to go down into a dark, dark cellar, in a dark, dark castle, in a dark, dark wood, in a dark, dark something.
Yeah.
So here we are. Oh, you're going to go down the stairs.
Look at the fucking state of that, people. Jesus Christ, how long have we been gone?
Like a few days, is that a week?
Don't know who Jesus what? Christ is, by the way, but, you know. So we're going down there.
Is the door open,
the
GM?
Door has burst open, and these vines are growing, spreading across the walls, spreading across the floor, round across the ceilings.
Can we get in? Like, is there room for us?
Yeah, you can walk down there if you're slow and careful, but it's very, very dark, and it looks like as you open the door, it spirals. It's like a spiral staircase going down into the dark.
I can barely see a thing in here, so someone else is going to have to take point.
I'll produce flame for you, so you've got a bit of sight.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Or would we like to be sneaky, sneaky? How do we want to play this?
We're walking into a basement. I don't know how sneaky we can be.
Yeah,
fair enough.
From something. Trundle along.
I think who shall go first?
I was going to suggest Bird. You have dark vision.
I do.
Might be worth putting him and me on point, and just the slightly blinder ones holding up the
bring it. I've got it. I've got it as well. So it's just Scapes. We can sandwich him.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I'll take the rear. I've got the light, and I'll pass the flame to Millicent, and I'll stay at the back.
You've set me on fire. What?
I'll set on fire.
Tell you what, let me go second because I'm still a bit tanky and, like, you know.
I definitely have.
Have you got dark vision, Puck?
Yes, yeah.
You do?
I do.
I definitely have a torch you can light.
Right, so.
So it'll go Burr, me, Scapes, Puck? No?
That's fine.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, I forgot Droop was here.
Yeah, Droop said, hey guys!
Oh, yeah.
Going down to the dark, scary, smelly dungeon. Yeah. All right. Good plan. You sure you don't want me to go and watch the horses?
True.
No.
All right, then. Horses to watch each other. All right, should we move into this room?
As you walk down...
Can we hear or anything we can be aware of as we're going down the stairs?
Okay. So you don't hear anything. It's silent. Very, very dark. So those of you... Well, now you've lit some flames. You've got the light of the flames, but otherwise the dark vision is all like black and white kind of vision. It's really dark. It stinks. As I said before in the last episode, it's like rotting... It's like a bin. It's like that rotten, horrible, sulfury, like a chicken that's out of date. You know they haven't cooked fast enough. Yeah, it's just disgust. It's almost making you wretch as you go down. You don't hear anything. As you get towards the bottom of the stairs, you come down into this little basement cellar area. It opens up into it's a long wall. The first thing you see is these vines. They're everywhere, all along the walls, along the ceiling, all along the floor. Now, technically, it would count as whatever the word is. Like, you move, it's a difficult terrain.
Rough terrain.
Yeah. Okay. But don't worry about that for now. And they're everywhere. They're definitely coming from the west wall of the room. That's where they kind of are growing away from. And they are starting to go up the stairs that you've just come down. To the north of this long room, you can see a number of sarcophagi, one of which is on the west wall, has been smashed open by these vines. And at the end of the room, there is a statue you can just about make out from where you are, which is fallen down and smashed on the floor. To the south of the room, there's just you can just about make out underneath the vines that are growing around. There appears to be like stores. It was like a basement slash crypt, family crypt. But there's boxes, crates, and things like that. But anything that's there of value is long, long, long gone. You know, this no one's. Presumably, no one's been in here for 1,000 You don't imagine that the goblins ever came in here, and it was probably abandoned for 1,000 years before then.
Go on.
Yeah, go on. Was this something to do with that seed of Moenda? That was.
Yeah, I remember when we fought Audrey too. I was looking at the things on the wall. There was something about planting a seed that turned evil and something like that.
Did anybody think to write that down?
Well, I've got Seed of Moenda, Plant Freaks, and Fight Cold with Fire or something.
Is there anything I can do nature-wise to determine what this kind of plant life maybe is, if it is actual proper plant life or if it's magic? I don't know.
If Millicent read it, mm-hmm. then would Millicent be able to roll a history?
I mean, yeah, it is actually. I did put it in your journal.
It's in our journal.
Millicent does know about it because I think it was Millicent that passed a history or a religion check last time, and I gave her actually extra information.
The Darkbringer were to cull trees, seed of Moenda. Door opens to a rotten stench. That was the last thing I wrote about it.
All right, so basically, it's in the journal, and I put it in there because Millicent rolled. I'm sure it was Millicent that did it. Maybe it was Parker, I can't remember, but I think it was Millicent. Rolled a pretty high history check about it at the time. Yeah. Now, the writing that was etched, it was defaced into a mural of the consort of the sort of like the leader of the elven gods, the Seldarine. Not him, but his consort, his wife, who was like the queen, I suppose, of those gods. Her name escapes me and it's really hard to pronounce. Angarahala or something like that. Anyway, and and what it said was, "Seek not to question the ways and words of Moenda, lest you be stricken by the eating from within. Go forth and possess beings of power and influence for me. Slay and let the rot cover all. Fight against cold with fire and magic. Fear me and obey." That's what it said. And then you thought back about it and you rolled some checks. And you did just recognize that this is actually from like a piece of, you've read this in a book. It's like from a piece of scripture, like the dogma of Moenda. And you read about how, so it was more of a cult to this evil god who supposedly died like a millennia ago, but at the time, if they were worthy, they would take the seed of Moanda into their ear and it would settle within them, and Moanda could take them over this, and it would sprout out of them. Now, the rest of the passage in there, basically, you remember there being stuff in there about them basically spreading rot and decay and things like that. And that's how you solved the puzzle to the door. You was like, oh, okay, so what if we bring something that we've killed here? And that's how you solved the puzzle, basically.
So we've started this, haven't we, it seems?
Yes.
Yeah,
by providing, we've offered some sort of sacrifice and now all of this is happening.
Can I move over here and just check the coffins out, Luke?
Yeah, you move yourself up there, absolutely.
If it says fight cold with fire and magic, I'm assuming that they're, whatever this is...
Doesn't like cold.
Cultists were expected to kill something or gather vegetation on a daily basis in order to spread rot and decay, and that was the bit that solved the puzzle for you.
I think that fire and magic would be the answer to cure this, like the other way around to what you're saying. If it's a little bit nippying here, I have plenty of fire bits and bobs.
What Bear's saying is that is a command from Moanda.
From Moanda, yeah. Fight cold with fire and magic.
That's it. Just so it's minions, shapeshifters, or whatever.
I mean, maybe we just fight it with blades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cold blades.
Really cold.
Let's make ourselves a salad.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, we need some more info, don't we? Let's find it.
Yeah, let's have a look around then.
Can I suggest everybody watch their step? This stuff seems to be moving, even if it is slowly.
So, Scapes, you went up to have a look up there. Roll me. Are you proficient in religion?
Religion, yes, I am.
Cool. You can roll me a religion check. No, it depends what you're looking at. Yeah, go on. That's fine.
9.
Yeah, you don't recognise what that statue is on the floor at all.
Oh, that's damn nice, my eyes.
Festive edition, the Hop Foundry Underground Ale, a small batch, Kristallweizen. Thank you very much, Aldi.
You read that as if something had just happened. I was like, what? Why? What the fuck?
Nope.
What's an IPA? How big is it?
I don't know.
This is
nice.
I'm gonna push forward up.
Let
up
me just
that end.
Deal with Scapes. Yeah, so you go up there.
Are you still going? Sorry.
Yeah. So as I said, as you've gone up, there's 4 sarcophagi on the right. There's like an urn that you've walked past as well on the right hand side or east side of the room. The one that's been smashed open there. Roll me a perception.
I can't touch it. 12. What does it give you?
Right. Lovely. Dripping out of it as you approach it. And you hear like a.
Oh, gross. Oh, I really want to take my headphones off. That's gross.
Mark undoes his belt.
And let's see.
Is that maggots?
Ah.
Yeah. No, and there's right. these they're quite big. They're a couple of inches in size. And they're all around. They're all around this urn. And they're spilling out of the side of it.
Can I put my torch towards them, see if it wards them off?
You can.
Okay, wave my torch at them.
Oh, you're going to have to move a little bit closer to them, aren't you?
Oh, I don't want to. Oh, God, there's weird maggots over here. I don't want to get too close.
I'm going to follow up, if that's okay.
Absolutely it is.
No, I don't know. I had an idea and it just disappeared instantly as soon as I said...
They're gross, aren't they?
Yeah, look at... Guys, maggots. Come and have a look at the maggots.
I just looked at them. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can.
You know what I'm this gonna... means now, Puck?
What's that?
This means you can shapeshift into a maggot now.
Yeah.
Hang about.
What eats maggots? Quick.
Aardvarks.
Can I do produce flame as an attack on it instead of touching?
If you're gonna throw a flame at it,
tiny mini fireball.
Okay, give me a second because if you're gonna do that,
a magic fire. That would be two things needed against the cold. So let's see if it works or makes things worse.
Roll an attack.
Oh, okay. So in that case, it's 14.
Nice. You will hit them. Roll for damage.
It's a 1d8.
Go on, son.
1d8.
That's a whole burning 2 of damage.
2 points of damage. It's not like, whilst you produce this flame magically, hence the spell, produce flame, the fire itself is not inherently magical, but it's still fire. So once it hits, it goes out. If it hits something flammable, if you throw it into like oil or something, then yeah, it would go up in flames. But it hits it, there's some sizzling, the flame goes out. Okay. But I mean, it did something. But there's so many of these maggots. I mean, maybe, roll me a perception.
8.
8. Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe who knows? Killed a couple of them, perhaps.
Oh, I mean, oh, fuck it. Right, I'm going to go and see if I can see inside the coffin.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to be all fucking day looking at maggots.
Super. I would like just everyone to freeze for me for a second. Could everybody roll initiative?
Yeah, maggot fight.
Maggot fight.
Hang on, that's since junior school.
Right. Fucking 7. Bullshit.
Yeah, I got a 7 as well, but I've got a plus 6. So 13.
You got a plus 6, your initiative?
Yeah, because shit. I've got rakish audacity.
Need to get me some of that.
Mm-hmm. 17 for me.
3 for me. Yeah.
Lucky Macon says charming.
Hello. Look, I'm terribly sorry. I know you're busy eating flesh.
That'd be great.
You look like a charming maggot.
This should be interesting. So as
you've thrown this ball of fire at them, there's a slight singeing noise, and they start falling out towards you. Millicent, you're up. I don't know, whatever you want to do.
Bush Tucker trial it, eat the lot of them. Fuck, I don't know.
Leave that to me.
His MO.
This is an interesting choice. How many creatures would you say there are?
It is a swarm. So in terms of mechanics, it counts as a single creature, but there are God knows how many of these maggoty things all at you.
That's gross.
I think we should spunk all our ridiculously high-level spells at this. Just obliterate some maggots.
I am going to use the spell. I am going to cast... I'm going to just move out to the side here, and I'm going to cast Bane.
Cool.
So they have to make a charisma saving throw.
I bet they got loads of charisma.
They're oozing charisma. Okay, a charisma saving throw. What are you doing exactly?
So casting Bane, if they fail their save, whenever that creature makes an attack, they have to roll a d4 and subtract that number from their roll.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, so it's a saving throw of what?
A DC 13 charisma save.
Yeah, no, their charisma is
2.
A 1, so they get a minus 5. So it has Bane. You've successfully Baned the swarm, I suppose. I don't know how that would work, but
so they have a.
If they try to attack, they have D4 penalty to any attack, basically.
That's right.
Until the spell ends, it's concentration up to a minute. I'll keep an eye on that, and then as a bonus action, because that's an action, I will inspire Burr.
Hey.
So you got a cheeky D6.
I think I've still got inspiration from last time.
So I think you, at some point in the past couple of sessions, have all had inspiration from me, which is last until you use it. Yeah.
A bardic inspiration only lasts 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I lost mine.
So you lose one of those.
You used one of mine, then you've lost it, but that's fine because I've got. I just check them out as and when. So you've got an extra D6 on an attack.
Nice.
Save and throw if you need it.
Okay. You doing anything else at all?
Just having my. Getting my swords ready.
Okay.
My sword and my dagger.
Well. It is this swarm of maggots turn, and it slithers up and just starts swarming around Pock's feet and starts trying to sliver up it. So it's a 15, but it's what, a minus d4?
Roll a d4 and take it away.
An 11 against your AC.
It misses.
Yeah, so it's just swarming around your feet. Yeah. Oh, you're up.
Okay. Oh, jeez. Well, I don't know quite what to do, yeah?
Yeah, I'm a bit lost.
Stamp on.
Swarming vulgar mass of maggots. Sounds like a carcass song. one, two, three, four, five, six. And then, can I stamp on them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to move next to Puck and then just start squishing.
Ow!
Squishing maggots.
Bah! Fuck's sake! Ah!
So I'll roll to hit. I rolled a two.
Oh, yeah, so you're stamping around, but they're just all wriggly. And obviously, we've got. Actually, it's difficult terrain, so you can only move half your distance.
Oh, right, so I can't even get to him then.
I'd like to retcon my owl.
Where did I start? I was there, wasn't I? So, and it's rounded down as well, isn't it? So I can only go one. I can only move like two spaces. I can't even shoot because they're on Puck's base, aren't they? I'll end up eating him. Yeah, I'll just move there then.
This very pretty, gorgeous map that we've got, which people on the podcast can't see, but maybe nice. We will put this on Instagram or something. I'll send it over to you to Instagram it. Check out the Instagram at the Dice and Die Show. It was actually designed by our friend of the show, our very own Lukaru, made this for me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, the way I envision it is whilst he's done that, and it looks fucking amazing, it looks professional.
Yeah.
I envision these vines everywhere along the floor, not just in the areas that he's put it. So literally from where, basically from where Pock and Scapes are in the north side of the room, all the way south, the entire floor is difficult terrain, just so you know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
all right. But Pock, you've got... Can you please make me a dexterity saving throw with disadvantage?
With disadvantage?
Mm-hmm.
Got 10 and an 11, so that's 10.
Lovely.
Do you need the plus?
No, that's fine. The dice roll of 10 is enough anyway. So that's fine. So yeah, these things are all around your feet. They're kind of just going over your toes and your feet at the moment, not really doing much.
I don't want to waste any spells on them.
Might want to step back or something.
You can make a melee attack. You can try your stamp on them, make a melee attack. You can move. Absolutely.
I'm also curious to see how Thunderwave works.
Yeah. That's something else you can try.
Right. No, I want to. I might as well get my new quarterstaff, my feather quarterstaff, and just try and. I think I'm going to step out. They're not directly underneath me. I'm just gonna come down.
So you're just gonna take a five foot step.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And just start trying to squish him with my new toy.
Okay. Roll it up.
Natural 20 to hit.
Yay! Nice.
and it's a 1d8 plus one.
Okay. So roll the damage.
That's a 7. So that's an 8 damage.
So 8 points of damage. Our house roll and the critical 20 is that you automatically do the maximum on the second die. So it's maximum 8 plus the 8 you rolled for 16 points of damage. You literally are just jabbing at him. They're squishing and squishing and squishing. And you take out a good portion of them. There's not many of them still left.
Crack him. Yeah, that's me done.
Droop steps into the room. He's like, what's going on then down here then? Oh, it's the smell.
Has he ever started a sentence that doesn't start with
I kind of have very, very loosely based his voice on Saddam Hussein from the South Park movie when he's like, come on, guys.
Hey, guys. I always imagine Droop just popping out from around the corner every time he speaks. And then do any sentence. And then
it's how I get into the character, basically. When I want to do his voice, I've got to go, hey!
Amazing.
Scapes, there's this big old puddle of maggot-looking things. Mud. Grubs.
Whether it be puddle of mud or a paddle of maggots, I'm going to chuck my torch at it.
You can make it's an improvised weapon, but you'll be proficient with it because it'll work like a club, I suppose. So you just make an attack, add your melee bonus to it as normal.
Ah, 2? Excellent.
Nice, well done. So you try and whack it with this torch, and as you go down, Pox basically killed most of them, but it's hard to tell what ones are still alive and what ones aren't. So you're just kind of bashing around, and you can hear like the fire kind of going tss, tss, as it's just kind of like touching in these bits of slime and sludge and stuff like that. But Millicent, what are you doing down there?
I don't feel that there's much I can really do to help at the moment. Can I take this opportunity to have a look around where I am and just see if there's any other movement or maybe we've caught the attention of something else, just to be sure?
Absolutely. Move yourself where you want to be kind of looking around. Are you just having a general look, or is there anything in particular?
No, I'll take myself down to the just south of this room, so I will. I don't want to get too close to the walls because I feel that's where they're probably most concentrated, so I'm going to go to about there.
It's very, very thick. The vines are thickest there. You can't get much closer to the wall than that. But roll me a perception. What are you looking for exactly?
Great question. Okay, let's say I'm investigating these vines a little bit closer. So I'm looking specifically to see if the plant life is a threat.
Roll a nature check then.
13 plus, probably. Oh, no, 4. So
nice roll, 17. Lovely. Yeah, I mean, so there, you know of, they're of, there are dangerous plant life, especially certainly like even living so close to Neverwinter Woods, you know that plants can be alive. You know that there are situations where vines can, well, you know, plants will try and eat you and they'll grab you and stuff like that. It just appears to be a vine. It's not moving anywhere. You don't understand how it can be growing down here. There's no sunlight. There's no water. It's been locked up for however many hundreds of years, probably.
Well, I suppose that was my action, so I'm just going to hold off back here, keep an eye on the situation. If anything comes through, just keeping an eye out.
Okay. Sorry I couldn't give you more, but there's not really much to it. They're vines. Sorry.
That's all right.
Right, so this thing then, it's got a... So, let's see, 50-50 chance of where it's going to go. It's not smart enough to go, well, Pock did no damage to me. So, 50-50, high or low, Pock.
High.
You never guess what I just rolled?
Natural 20 or one?
So natural 20. So it is going to go down and it slivers down into your space. What a shame that wasn't the attack roll, eh? and yeah, let's see if it does anything to you. No, again, they're just kind of slivering and there's not many of them now, but they're slivering over your feet and things like that. But
fuck off.
Technically, you've got no indication, other than the fact that they're following you. Technically, you have no indication that they're a threat. They haven't bit you. You can't see them. They're just fucking grubs. They're disgusting. Burr, you're up.
Right, I'm going to move up and just stamp on them then.
Okay. What I'm going to say is because you are trying to stamp around Pock's feet, it will be with disadvantage.
Right, well, that was a natural 20.
Sorry.
And that was a 16.
So you will still manage to stamp on some. So it'll be an unarmed attack, which means you do your strength modifier in damage, unless it's a negative, in which case you just do a minimum of one.
Well, it's strength, and then I've got a zero. So
you do 1 point of damage. You squish a bug.
Squish a bug. You do. Well, I'll just disengage then, move back one.
Yeah, you can do that. Pock, you've got all these bugs around your feet.
I'm going to... just walk over to the coffin.
Right, so what I should have done last time, but I'd forgot to do, of course, is that once you leave a creature's range, they get an opportunity attack. Now, its range is zero. It can only attack you if you're on its square. So last time, they should have got an opportunity attack against you, but I forgot. So as you move off of it, nothing happens. You carry on.
Crack him. I'm just going to go up.
Before you do anything, roll me that saving throw, the dexterity saving throw again.
Oh, okay. We'll do it. 15.
That's fine. Move yourself.
I'm going to go over to the coffin.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to see if I can get the lid off or if I have to start cutting through some of the vines to get to see what's in the coffin.
So this one has been burst open by the vines. You look inside. You don't need to roll a check or anything unless you want to have a real examination. But as you look inside, basically it's cracked open. You can see what looks to be a pot. Maybe a skeleton there, but the vines really have just gone over it. And what you can see is actually like on the map on this instance, the vines have gone over there, they've gone up to the statue, and they've wrapped around the statue's legs and have brought it down. But they're not actually really interested. It doesn't look like, you know, they haven't grown into there. There's just a skeleton in there.
Have I still got movement?
You've got how much movement you've got as a character.
No, so 25. Can I get over to the statue now and next turn investigate the statue?
Yeah, so basically from those sarcophagi, there aren't any vines on the floor. So if you've moved 5 foot, so that would count as 10 because you're on difficult terrain. And then you'd need to use another 10. So mm-hmm. you'd have to go over the box to do that. So you'd have to go around it.
Oh, okay. So
you're looking at...
Where could I get to?
You can't get far at all because you've already used 10 to get there. You're going to use another 10 to get off. And then you've got 5 feet left, which puts you on top of skates. You can't end your turn on top of skates.
Ah, right. Okay. So I can't go...
I'll allow that. It's not going to break the game. It's fine.
No, okay, cool. Yeah, my intention is to investigate the target, but I'll wait a turn if I have to.
Ah, serious, what are we all standing? What's going on, guys? Come on. Why are we down here? It stinks.
Kill them.
Where's this? What we got? This Kira, this gem, yeah? What's going on? And he's like next to Burr, like, ah, just some grubs. Come on.
Go finish him off then, if you're feeling the. Up for
I
a
would,
run.
But I haven't got enough movement to get there.
Nah, never mind then.
I love that.
Escapes.
I'm going to take a swing with my flame again at them bitches.
That's fine.
Oh. 10.
10.
Yeah.
You hit, roll for damage.
I hit. Yeah, what's the hit with my fiery one?
A d4 plus your strength modifier.
3, so that's 5.
5 points of damage. Yeah, so this time, because they've moved from where they were last time, you can see what ones are alive and what ones are dead. Like, they've left a slimy puddle of dead maggots behind them. And you can see now that what ones are there, and you're just kind of whacking at them with this torch, and you manage to just squish out the rest of them, and they're dead.
Yay! Maggots.
This monster is fucking fantastic. Anyone interested in it? It's in Volo's Guide to Volo's Guide to Monsters. And brilliant. They're brilliant. They're really squishy, really simple. But if they get you,
oh,
boy,
really?
Yeah, they can be lethal if they get you.
Was that Bane a good shout? Then?
Pardon?
Was that Bane a good shout then?
Yeah, because actually that was the only reason it missed. I think. Well, was it a roll of 15? That would have got you, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What's your AC, Pock?
Oh, 14.
Yeah,
it would have got me. Yeah, yeah.
I won't tell you right now what it would have done, but later on,
ooh,
I will do.
Oh shit!
Yeah, they're really cool.
I did not take that seriously at all. Amazing,
flesh-eating disease.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Gross.
Okay, so we're out of combat. Just so you, whatever you want to do, you can do it. Don't worry about the half movement because we're not counting turns. So if you wanted to investigate that statue, you can do so.
Yes, please. Oh, talk to Millicent. Sorry, or anyone.
Anybody.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'd like to see if I can read anything or recognise who it's a statue of, or if there's like an epitaph.
So it is a little bit hard to tell because, of course, it is destroyed on the floor. But roll me a religion check.
I'm going to be nearby for translation purposes if there is any.
Millicent, if you're proficient in religion, you can roll as well.
20 from me.
Nice, that would do. You already rolled those escapes, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah,
it didn't mean anything to you. 20 would do it, though. I'm assuming you are proficient in religion, Pock.
No, I was going for a history, but no, I've got a plus 4. Rolled a 16, though.
Okay, so that was a history, was it?
That was a religion.
And are you proficient?
Yeah. No, I'm not, no.
And you rolled a 20 overall?
Yeah, I rolled a 16 and a plus 4 for religion.
That's fine. So that is high enough. I'll allow it a roll... untrained but it's like a higher difficulty but that's fine. A 20 is still going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's on my intelligent thing.
It's another you reckon by looking at it it's another member of the whatever they're called. So I'm going to keep on trying to call them Celadin, the elvish gods. Anyway, the elvish pantheon. You reckon that it is possibly the Sahaninin Moonbow, simply because she was the goddess of travel and journeys and protector of the dead.
Do I sense, is there anything, any prayer that I can say here, or is this not the place for that?
If that's what you want to do. You see, branching off the top half of this room, where the crypts are, the whatever they're called, coffin things, sarcophagi, there is a tunnel. Now this tunnel does not this area where you can see the floor, it is, you know, they're flagstones, the wall is you can see that this was purpose built. This wall, however, where the hole is, a tunnel, is not so perfect. It looks like it was, like I say, it's a dirt floor. It's dug into the, it's dug out. That's right. But there is a tunnel heading west.
Should we check out the tunnel?
Is there any names on the coffins before we go?
Pardon?
Any names or anything on the coffins that we would recognise having spoke to the Banshee lady? Names
Do
or anything like that?
Do you read Elvish? I know that Millicent does.
Millicent!
I'm looking for Nellaru's dads and all them people.
So there's not any names that you recognise. The names don't mean anything to you. But there is... they all share the same surname, which is Orglatha, which you know is the Winter Prince.
Yeah.
And the first names are... It doesn't matter. It's not important. So I can't be able to make mine up.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
You said there was a skeleton, right?
There's
in the other one.
An Elaharol. Zonoras. Those are masculine names. And then I'm reading off a list of randomly generated names that I always have handy, amazing, just in case. And then the female names, there's an Isteria, a Karanwin. 1, 2, 3, 4. You want one more, dear? Okay, hold on. Mm-hmm. And another male name, Sayada. Please don't write them down because they're irrelevant.
Okay.
But you asked.
Too late. And the broken one, you said there was a skeleton in, wasn't there?
Yeah, there is a skeleton in there, yeah. Okay. It's coffins.
Are we going to pop these coffins open?
Yeah, I want to do that and search. There's a pot and a barrel by the looks of it.
Yeah,
I can see.
Yeah.
Can I get to the barrel from where I am?
Yeah, you can go over there. On the map there, it does appear to be a barrel in the top right-hand corner.
Okay.
They're kind of like urns, basically, in the corners. Vase.
Like Zelda.
You probably you can have a look in there. They're empty. You imagine. Roll me again if anybody is proficient in religion. If everyone can roll me a religion check if you roll high enough. But if you're proficient,
23.
Superb. You imagine that they were probably used to sort of like hold flowers or incense, like oils and things like that, in there. They're there for decoration, but there's nothing inside them. I mean, again, it's hard to say how long this place has been here and how long it's been empty for, but you bet your ass it's a long time.
Okay.
Through the
tunnel.
The coffins. Yeah, go for it.
We're going to prise the coffins open.
Well, it does seem a bit weird to just go around prying coffin open.
Do any of you remember?
But we're looking for this thing.
I remember last time we prized the coffin open.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm down for it. It's not that I'm not down for it, bruv.
You worried we're going to get some undead come out?
Just worried I'm going to get a bone on.
Nah.
Well, there'll definitely be some bones in there. I don't know if it'll be in your pants or whether they're going to be in the coffin.
We'll have to see.
Go on, if you're feeling brave.
I mean, what else are we going to do? We're going to go down this tunnel otherwise.
Yeah.
Have you still got that crowbar from Cthulhu?
Yeah. Do you remember one of the things that you were asked to do by Agatha coming here?
Yeah,
Desecrate the ground.
Desecrate the bodies, she said, didn't she?
That's what she said. Sure. Desecrate and
consecrate the ground.
Fuck the corpses. We want to see some hardcore necrophilia going on. No, she said to consecrate it. Just, you know. That's what she said.
I don't think
desecrating the grave, potential graves of her ancestors, is potentially a wise move. But by all means, go for it. I mean, she won't fucking know. She's 50 miles away. Or will she?
Out of character question.
Yes.
Because I'm a paladin.
Yes. I think you would be very anti grave robbing, yes.
Yeah, but is my wee holy?
I don't know. It depends how much
holy water have you been drinking?
Well, yeah, there's that.
I'm always at the holy water.
How much praying have you been doing? Have you been?
Has it been good?
Have you been keeping your willy clean? That's the question.
Yeah, it's clean. It's clean. He's a virgin. He's like 30. He's what, 40 something? Yeah, virgin.
Yeah. Cool.
Celibate.
All right, let's head, should we head down this tunnel then? If we're not going to desecrate graves.
I'm going to have minor illusion and erection in Scapes' armour.
You don't have to,
okay. I'm at the tunnel.
Which way is the tunnel?
Here. It's
if you
further north.
To me, you'll see it.
You're miles away.
Yeah.
Can I get rid of this torch so I've got my weapons? Because this is ridiculous.
You can do. But like, you won't be able to see without it.
Droop, come here. Stand next to me with this torch, please. You won't have to.
Okay, hold on. I'll certainly take that off of you. Just give me a moment. Hold on.
That's true.
So, hold on. Let's just... Oh,
he's going to burn us all.
Now, stand slightly... slightly in front. Oh, it's gone dark.
Hold on. Sorry, hold on.
That's genius. Has he put the light out?
True. Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Okay. Stand ahead of me and I'll protect you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck it. We're going to turn around and he's going to be on fire. And
no, he won't. He's fine. He's great with torches.
But are you getting first?
Yeah. Stroll
up. Right behind.
Are you all heading up? Burr at the moment has got point.
Yeah, let's go.
Behind him.
So this pathway, it's not very long. As I say, it's dirt. It's also not very high as well. The taller ones of you, Skates particularly, will have to hunch slightly, I imagine.
Pull me back.
As you come in there, it opens up into a medium-sized cavern, about half the size of the long room that you were just in. There's a massive chasm in the ground filling up sort of half the middle of this room. If you look down, you can't see a bottom, but coming up the sides of it and it's spilling out of the top and heading into the southeast corner of this little room. You've come through the northeast in the southeast corner of this cavern. All these vines are just heading in that direction and it's just thick with mess. But yeah, they're all sprouting out of this cavern. To the sort of west of the room, there is a table, and on the table, there is a corpse.
It looks like the guy from Scooby-Doo.
His name? It's all joined again. Lucre's done a great job. He's left an actual body on there, but it's supposed to be a skeleton. But it's a brilliant map, really, really brilliant map. We do need to put this out on Instagram. And then past that, in the bottom west corner, you can see a desk from where you're at. One thing you notice... room, you felt it coming when you were outside in the previous room, just at the entranceway to the tunnel. You could feel a breeze, and as you get further in, and you've only gone 20 or 30 feet around this tunnel into this other room, it is cold. Not freezing your ass off cold, but it is unnaturally cold.
Any more room up ahead? Because I can't see anything.
Right, I'm going to go and investigate that desk.
Okay.
Beautiful.
I'll take the body.
Roll me a perception. You're all around this desk. You don't even need to roll a perception, to be honest.
Well, I've done it now.
It's obvious. It's a skeleton. It is in. You can still make it out. It's quite well preserved. Whilst it's more like it's more mummified than a skeleton, really, because there's nothing in here to decay the body, really. So it's just tight and leathery. Some rotten, kind of decaying garments, like dress on it. On the table next to the corpse or the skeleton is what appears to be some sort of diamond or gem or jewel. Brilliant. It's like a diamond. It's transparent, yet seems at the same time to be like a whitey silver. Beautiful. You recognize it, Millicent, instantly as an ancient elven Kira.
On the desk, yeah?
On the desk.
I'll head over to pick it up.
Millicent,
you reach out and you grab it. As you touch it, everything goes bright white for Millicent. Time freezes. Everybody else, you're out of the picture.
Oops.
Everything gets enveloped in bright white light. And there's a silence except for your own heart beating in your chest. Fum, fum. Fum, fum. You look around you, and the dark, dank, and disgusting cellar you were standing in is gone. Your friends are nowhere to be seen. Maybe you call out for them. Puck, burr, escapes. But you suddenly realise that there's no sound escapes your mouth. As you look around at this vast, endless white void, you realise that it's not an empty space you're walking through, but more filled with like a dense fog, like enormous, brilliant clouds. And you can feel it wafting across your skin as you move. You start looking around, calling. Again, no sound. As you wade further and further, screaming, help! Silence. No sound. After a few minutes, or maybe a few hours, you just can't tell. You start noticing shapes moving in the distance. Colours, maybe the odd sounds of perhaps people. Then you start moving towards it, calling out again, hello? But nothing is leaving your mouth. Nothing comes back to you in return as you get closer, brushing the cloud like fog out the way. Suddenly, you feel yourself get pulled by some kind of force and it sweeps you completely off your feet and you zoom, flying towards this pocket of colour. The brightness of it almost blinds you as you fall into it. You squint and cover your eyes. And you hear talking. Not a conversation, just one voice talking at somebody, people. You're in a great hall. In the hall, surrounding you, crowded by people, mostly elves, but there's maybe a few humans kind of littered amongst them as well. Looking at them, perhaps you see like smaller children, and you might see them standing together and you recognize them, perhaps little family groups, maybe. Everybody's looking intently, listening to this voice, and you look, and there's this elven man standing on a pew at the end of the hall, just talking at them. You can't really quite make out what he's saying, but you can. You're confused, you're disorientated. You call out, hello, but you're trying to wave at people, no one notices you. They are all listening intently. As I say, you just can't focus on the voices. You're just too distracted by everything that's going on. Your attention, however, is drawn to a young elven girl, not sitting in the crowd, but near the side of this man. She's maybe 14 or 15, you expect. Beautiful green eyes, long dark hair, long flowing gown. Again, perhaps you move a little bit closer to her and you try and get some attention, but no one's doing anything. And you realise that she's not listening to what's going on. She's not paying any attention at all. She seems to be smiling at someone, something at the back of the room. You trace her eyeline. And the crowd almost becomes transparent, like you can't focus on them. But at the back of the room, clear as day, is a boy of a similar age, human, wearing common clothes, maybe comes from a farming family or something. Who knows? And he too seems to be paying very little attention to the man speaking at the front of the hall. And he too is distracted by the gaze from the girl at the front. And they're smiling at each other, and he's pulling funny faces, and she's trying to hold in giggles. The image before you evaporates and reforms clouds around you, and now you're outside in a beautiful garden of flowers. You hear birds, people talking, milling around. Now, again, it's just kind of that mumble, 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 rabble, 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 rabble. Now you see that the man from inside before is here and he's just shaking hands with people who you expect are probably his followers, like maybe he's some kind of holy man, a cleric or something. And people are queuing up to meet him. And next to him again is this girl just standing, bored and patient, smiling. She looks at something, again, trace what she's looking at. And from the corner or just around one of the towers, you see this boy again, and he's getting her attention. Psst! And she's beckoning him over. Father, may I go and play? She says. Without even looking or paying much attention at all, he just waves her off and simply waves her hand and says, yes, dear. Okay. And she runs off. Now the visage again swims around you once more and settles in yet another new image. And if you see this girl and the boy, and they're running around in the woods, chasing each other, laughing, giggling each other. You hear a voice. Melaru? Melaru? Where are you? Melaru? The laughing stops and the girl looks in the direction of the voice, and then back at the boy, as through the bushes from behind her, an older woman comes through again. Beautiful elven woman, long gown. Melaru, there you are. It's getting late. It's time for supper. Sorry, mother. I lost track of time. I'm coming now. She turns back round to the boy. Come back tomorrow, she whispers. The boy simply smiles in return and steps away backwards and disappears into the shadows. As she catches up with her mother and follows her and takes her hands, the image starts to blur and you just hear the mother's voice. Who were you talking to? We now see a new scene. The girl, she's aged some years, but it's definitely still her. She's now a young adult, 20s maybe, turned into a beautiful young woman who you recognise instantly as the woman from the painting. But father, you are chosen, Melaru. You can't just refuse the will of the Seldarine. They have a path for you. You must learn the scripture and pass on their blessings as I have. My father before me and his before him. It's our birthright. But I want to choose my own destiny. They would understand. Mother, please tell him. I want to be more than just a priestess. My darling Melaru, you know I love you. But I agree with your father. You're destined for great things, and this is just the beginning of such a long, long life. There'll be time for all of that and adventure later. But Mo says, but nothing, Melaru, and no more of this Mo business. I've entertained your silly, childish games for too long now. It's time you let these fantasies go. But Mo, yes, Mo, the boy you play with in the forest. You're not a child anymore, Melaru. Time to grow up and let him go. Again, this memory drifts away. Melaru is in her study, reading and copying scripture. Psst! Melaru looks up. There's no one there. Psst! Again, no one there, but she gets up and she goes to her window. Psst! I'm in here! Melaru turns round and notices that in her mirror is the boy from the forest. Mo, what magic is this? How are you in my mirror? Don't worry about that. I found a way for us to be together. Come here. Melaru reservedly walks a bit closer. Here, take this book. I found it in my grandmother's library. She doesn't know I have it, but she won't miss it. It has spells and rituals in it. We can be together. Melaru reaches out towards the mirror to take it, but she holds back. But how can I take it? Just come here, Mel. She reaches further, and surprisingly, her hand does not touch glass, but her hand just simply moves into and past the surface of the mirror, and she steps inside. The cloud again swirls round you, and this time it reforms, but everything is dark. All but candlelight fills the room to a very familiar cavern you know to be under the castle you know as Cragmore Castle. Melaru is standing over a table, and on it lays her mother, bound and gagged, confusion and fear in her eyes as Melaru stands over her holding a knife. Nearby is her mirror from her study, and inside the mirror is not the reflection of the room, as you would expect. But Mo, the boy, standing there, smiling. Do it, Mel. Then we can be together. Forever. But why my mother? Father, I understand. But why her too? You love me, don't you, Mel? You want to be with me. We get to be together. Forever.
Yes, but there has to be another way. I can just leave, now. They won't follow us.
Mel, it has to be done. You've come too far now to turn away. It's the only way. They'll come for us. You know they will.
I need you, Mel. I'm trapped in here. You have to help me. Then we can be together. Forever. a shadow seems to grow from the mirror, spreading across the room, engulfing Mellaru. The knife comes down. As the life spills out of Mellaru's mother and her eyes start to fade, the boy in the mirror starts to smile and then to laugh. He starts to grow, change. Legs sprout out of him. So many legs. One, two, three. His body contorts as he steps out of the mirror, through into the shadows, his body still transforming and growing. Four, five, six. Mellaru is screaming, "What have I done? Mother," she sobs. "Mo, what's happening to you? Who are you?" Seven, eight legs. Her mother lets out one final gasp, barely audible from the gag in her mouth.
She's a spider then.
Loth.
Mellaru screams like a guttural cry, the kind you only hear when someone loses everything, when their soul splits in two. The room starts to shake. The ground beneath them trembles and splits open. This giant spider that is no... The giant spider that is now where Mo was before starts laughing maniacally, revealing a jaw filled with far too many teeth as the transformation completes. And before poor Mellaru is a half-giant spider and half-dark elven queen. "Goodbye, my sweet Mel." The last thing you see from this vision is Mellaru starting to vibrate intently, her very core, her being, all of the cells that make up her body shaking. And she starts to lift off the ground, floating, her gown and hair blowing violently in the wind that seems to come from within her. The vibrating seems to get more and more intense as the vibrating splits her in two, an incorporeal version and a physical. The ghost Mellaru, the incorporeal Mellaru, lets out an ear-splitting shriek as the Spider Queen, still laughing, just quietly steps back into the shadows and disappears like she never existed. And the physical Mellaru falls to the ground. As her body fades, the gem on her forehead flashes and glows until it is gone completely, left laying there where it fell, next to the body of Mummy Orglatha. And then you're back into the dark room. Your friends are next to you, looking at you. They don't know it. Don't look like they know anything has happened at all. And you just hear a whisper. "Save me." We'll find out what happens next week. Thank you for joining us.
Beautiful work, GM.
Yes.
Oh my God, so much stuff. So many songs to write.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Join us next week to find out what our group does next. What happens with this information?
I wrote down so much.
Yeah, I know.
If you're in the stream, we'll treat you to part two or the next episode. Just stay where you are. We're going to go over Waz. Otherwise, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for being our friend. Rate and review, fuckers.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sorco Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sorco Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast LLC.
You see, looking up from the ground, blood-red clouds boiling across the sky.
"You did ask me to bring the thunder."
Dijin!
Digit! Help! I've got the chalice, please!
Well, if they're following you, then I guess that takes care of a loose end for me.
All of you feel the earth beneath you shake and crack and break.
I feel that I have failed both of you, and I am sorry for that.
This has nothing to do with you being a bad leader.
Do you want a countdown? Oh, I think I want a countdown.
I wanted to help. I always had good intention. I did not deserve to die.
Now.
The Lucky Die Podcast is a weekly 5e Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. Join our adventure every Monday wherever you download podcasts by searching for The Lucky Die.
Here at Pen & Slabs, we take our episodes seriously. Observe!
Natural one.
Confounded dragon. I must prepare for next week.
Why? What are we doing next week, Bellry?
The same thing we do every week, dragon. Try to accent the world.
It's Penance. It's Penance RPG.
Penance RPG. The definition of insanity.